الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ وعن علي بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك وإذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My dear respected brothers and elders, this hadith is a hadith where if we understand it, then our problems in this world and hereafter will be solved. This very hadith was the hadith which was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abdullah ibn Abbas, who at that time was a very young boy. He says, كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما, that one day I was behind Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم turned to me and said, يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات. He said, oh young child, small boy, that I will teach you few words. And another narration, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, should I teach you few words? And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma replied, yes, teach me some words. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihfazillah yahfazka. Said, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mindful of you. Meaning, understand what He likes and do those things, and what He dislikes, refrain yourself from indulging in those activities. So, the first thing that Allah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihfazillah. So when a person is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will neglect him. Which means that his problems in this world and in the hereafter will be solved. The problem that we face today in our daily life, day in, day out, in family and in wealth and in health, these are the makings of our own doings. These are the problems that we have created through our actions. The fact that we have not refrained from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. The fact that the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to enjoin, we refrain from. We squandered our time. We did not look after the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after us? And this is why we see calamities, we see problems after problems falling upon us. Yet we do not look for the solution. The direction that we are supposed to take, we go the opposite direction. And then we say, why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helping us? And then we say, why is it that we have so much problems and the non-Muslims have no problems? Or have few problems? Why is it that we are facing so much difficulties? My dear respected brothers and elders, if we just ponder upon this part of the hadith, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ, that you be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mindful of you. Then we can understand where the problem is coming from. Then we will realize that the problems that we are facing are due to our own actions. مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that whatever musibat, whatever calamity befalls upon a person, it is due to the actions of the people. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that the trials and tribulations that appear on the earth and on the water are due to the action of the people. My dear respected brothers and elders, then we can only come to one conclusion, that whatever is happening to me, good or bad, it is due to my own actions. Yes, whatever is written, that will happen, but that is for all to make us understand, to make us, to help us to not become big-headed when good things happen to us, and not to feel so much sorrow when bad things happen to us. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. It's not that so that we can just do whatever we want because it's predestined everything. No, it's for us. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا عَلَى مَا آتَاكُمْ, so that you do not become so much worried and forsake yourself. عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, upon those things that which you have missed, or upon those things which you have lost. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا عَلَى مَا آتَاكُمْ, and so that you do not become big-headed for what you have received. Oh, I'm a multimillionaire. Oh, I'm so and so. Oh, this is my position. No. This was written for you, that's why it's happened. Not because of what qualities you have. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned رُفِعَتْ الْأَقْلَامِ, that the pen's been have taken away, everything has been written. وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, and the ink in the books have been all dried, there's no alteration. That is therefore to make it easy for us to understand that whatever we get in terms of ni'mah, that is only the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because we have very good qualities. Not because we are the most of the best of all the people, that's why we have this. No. If every person was to earn great wealth just because of his effort, then there are many people who are making so much effort yet they have no wealth. And if it was because of his intellectual qualities that he has, then there are many people who have great, far better intellectual qualities than us, yet they do not enjoy the same benefits that a lesser person, a lesser degree of intellectual quality that the other person has. There are people today who have created such fantastic designs, yet they have no people to invest in them. They've created good things. The design is fantastic, but because they cannot bring it to the market, they cannot eat the fruits of their effort. Where somebody else has brought something which is okay, but with good marketing and with good elaboration, that becomes the top project, top. Look at Apple. If you compare with other marketers, or those who are geeks and who know, they will tell you there's much better products. But when somebody says Apple, oh, iPhone, they think they've got something, they've got a ticket to Jannah or something. iPhone. Why? It's because of mass marketing, is the way they elaborated it and they put it into the people's minds that this is the best. If you want a phone, you go for that kind of phone. That's why they can sell it for £300-£400. Because it's the way they market it. You want a car? You should go for an Audi or a Mercedes. Why? It's marketing. And I'm sure a Skoda will do the same job, but a Mercedes will do. May even do a better job. Save yourself a £10,000. But no, you got the money, you want to have the style, and you want to, you know, have the looks and take the part, then you must be driving this kind of car. It's all about marketing. Why do companies spend millions of pounds on marketing? It's to manipulate the people's mind, their perception, their understanding. You will see, Allah forbid, you know, many people who go to cinema, they tell us, middle they'll have an advert, Coca-Cola advert. Even if you watch on TV, straight away they'll have a pizza advert. Oh yes, I have to get a pizza. They just reminded you to buy a pizza. That's what the adverts do. It's a reminder. And this is the same thing why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind each other. Remind each other about the hereafter. Remind each other about the duties. Because reminding benefits the believers. It is that same concept. We have to keep telling each other, five times salah is farz. Yes, I know five times salah is farz. But we have to keep on reminding each other. Because we are weak. It is human nature to forget. Why do they spend millions of pounds in advertising? To remind you what is the best product out there. To remind you the benefits of that product. To remind you that this is the product that you need. It's the same. Reminder. But doing for the good thing. Reminding each other that this is haram. Do not do that. Because if you do that, you will bring the wrath of Allah upon yourself. Why is it that in the Quran, every time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Was it once enough to mention in the Quran? Why is it hundreds of time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Establish salah, give your zakah. It is for that reason. Because we are weak by nature. We tend to forget. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that for a reason. Imagine, you had a child and it passed away. If you kept on remembering that, you go crazy. You fall into depression. And you see, people who can't forget, who can't let go of the past, what happens to them? They lose it. And then they take depression tablets. Gives them a little bit of, and then afterwards they get worse. And then they see no benefit in this world. They cannot think properly. So everything has a benefit and purpose. But we have to counterattack that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remind each other about the benefits of this, of the akhirah. Remind them. You must remind each other. You must tell your subordinates. You must tell those whom you have responsibility. And those who have the responsibility of, they've got to do their part. And the best and the biggest benefit when we remind each other, what happens is that we ourselves are getting reminded. When we tell others about five times salah, what does that mean? It means that you're also hearing what you're saying. It means that you're hearing what you are saying. So your brain is recapturing that. And when you keep on saying that, even if you're not that steadfast, you'll start to think, I'm telling everybody, I need to get my act in right. Get my act right. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, if you want a solution to our problem, then look no further than deen. It is deen. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Who is saying that? The creator, the manufacturer, the maker of us. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's bad for us. If a manufacturer of a car tells you that you need to put oil here, you put oil there. You don't start putting anything else in there. You put anything else, then kiss goodbye to that product. It's not going to last long. The manufacturer knows what's good for that product, because he's the one that created it. He knows that if you use it like this, it will be good. It will stay good. So this is why it's very important, my dear respected brothers, elders, that we remember this hadith, اِحْفَظُ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ, that be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning mindful of His laws, mindful of His injunctions. And if we don't know something, then we ask the people of the learned, those who know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The Quran clearly says that you ask the people of knowledge, you ask the ulama, if you do not know something. So no excuse of not knowing something. Even in this country, you break a law, I didn't know. Police, not knowing something doesn't abrogate you from the law. You should know. You have. For so many places, Citizen Advice Bureau, anywhere you want, government office, they find out the law. Before you do something, you find out. Not you break the law and then say, I didn't know. That's no excuse. Likewise, my dear respected ones, elders, once we have said we are Muslim, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we accepted the deen of Islam, then find out what is deen of Islam. Don't just sit there and think, well, this is deen, this is not deen. Go and find out. You've accepted Islam, then do it properly. Once, one of our pious predecessors, he was sitting in the train, and he saw a Sikh person, and the Sikhs, they have these big turbans, and it fell, so he was putting it back, and it took him about good 20 minutes. He said to him, out of curiosity, don't you find it difficult? He said, look, when I accept Sikhism, I accept everything with it. Even if it's difficult for me, I will do it. And straight away he took a lesson from that. We accept Islam, yet we are not ready to take it. You got, I've seen so many Jews, the Orthodox Jews in London and in San Fidel. You will see them, they will have long hair there, they have these funny hats on, they have the long thingy. They feel no shame in practicing their deen. In practicing the deen, they feel no shame. And we Muslims, oh, what's that person going to say if we do this? What's that person going to say if we do this? That person's not going to save you in the fire, from the fire of hell when you go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice.